and welcome to the Giraffe Social Media Podcast. It's what social media managers are talking about. I'm Katie, and today I'm joined by Chloe and Ellie. Coming up on this week's episode, we'll be sharing our thoughts on Elon Musk buying Twitter, plus we'll discuss how you should be creating reactionary content. In case you missed it last week, but I'm sure you haven't, Elon Musk has bought Twitter for a staggering $44 billion. So this week, we thought it'd be fun to talk about what apps or social media platforms we'd like to buy. Ellie, do you want to go first?
Yes. So as the resident millennial, should I call myself a millennial?
No, you're Gen Z.
Am I Gen Z? Yeah, you're with me. You're in Gen Z.
I use Snapchat. I think I'm pretty much the only one on the Giraffe team who does. So I'm really outing myself here. But I definitely, if I had that sort of wealth, I would invest in Snapchat. I think it's got a lot of untapped potential, and also has the ability to stretch across a wide audience from, you know, kids in school to even your grandparents, because like I've said before, I think that, you know, my grandparents especially would love flicking through the filters. They'd be on that for hours. So it's endless entertainment for all ages. You cannot go wrong. I was also saying to the girls offline or off the podcast, have you say it, about the new social media app, Be Real, where you can basically get a notification every single day at a random time, and then you just take a photo there on the spot of whatever you're doing. So it's kind of unfiltered, without, you know, the sort of pressure that you kind of get from Instagram, maybe even Facebook. And I feel like that's a great avenue that Snapchat could also go down.
Yeah, I love Be Real. I've been seeing it everywhere. And I think, like, Snapchat, I bet they wish they kind of thought of this first, because it's so similar. Mm-hmm. And I think Snapchat already kind of has this authentic, raw feel to it that TikTok does, but maybe it's not as established in its purpose yet. Like, as far as I know, the kids just use it to keep up their streaks, and that's about it. So I think this would be a really good way to kind of use Snapchat more productively, not that you need to be productive on social media. And yeah, like, just, you know, continue sharing stuff with your friends, but maybe having these prompts so that it's almost a bit of a gamification as opposed to something that you can just use to message one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I love that. Thing is, though, like, I hadn't heard of Be Real until, like, you brought it to me, Ellie, and I was like, what is this? But like you said, Chloe, like, again, it's just Snapchat being like a little bit behind the wave. Like, it's just like something that would be a perfect concept for them, but someone else thought of it first. And I think that's just like the story of Snapchat now. But like, with your business takeover, Ellie, like, who knows? You could girl boss your way to the top with it.
Honestly, the opportunities are endless now that I am in power. So all the other social media platforms need to watch out for me.
Honestly, Snapchat having a resurgence would be amazing.
Definitely. Well, yeah, you guys are the resident Gen Zers on the podcast, and I would like to class myself as a bit of a millennial, but my millennial side will be showing when I pitch my platform takeover. So with my $44 billion, I propose that I'm going to buy MySpace. And I never actually had MySpace, so I don't know what it was, but I saw a TikTok the other day, and this user was saying that now would be the perfect time for us to revive MySpace. I don't know. I just feel like the culture of, you know, making things a bit chewy or tacky, and, you know, having your list of closest friends, I think it just calls for it. And the pandemic would have been an awesome time to do that. Mm-hmm. And I would love it to be a place where celebrities come and have a chance to be a bit more authentic with us. Like, imagine Harry Styles on there promoting his album, or Kim Kardashian listing her top best friends. And when someone gets kicked off, that sets up the new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, I just think, it's just the perfect time for it. And it would give me a chance to be able to use it, because I think I was just a bit behind on that, and never used it back in the day. But yeah, that's, would you guys jump back on MySpace if I revived it?
Oh, 100%. Like, I used to have Bebo. I don't know if you guys remember Bebo.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Similar vein to MySpace. Not quite as good, probably. But, like, I don't know. I just miss the energy there. And I feel like a combo of MySpace and TikTok. Like, that's just, like, the power couple that we never expected, but could be, especially with, like, Ellie's buyout of Snapchat. Like, can you imagine the possibilities? And I think as well, like, what people would absolutely love, like you were saying, Chloe, is, like, the personalization of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people want to, like, brand stuff a lot more now. Like, not even in, like, an official way. Like, everyone's kind of got their brand now.
Totally.
And, like, to be able to go in and change, like, basically the entire appearance of the interface, like, why would you not want to do that? I want to do that.
Yeah.
Every time I only have the option to change my profile picture or cover photo, I'm like, I want more.
Totally. I mean, we were saying off mic that I would love to turn MySpace kind of almost into the new LinkedIn, and it would be like exclusively for social media managers, because we all know how much we love to stylize things and, you know, have our own personal branding. And I think that would be so cool. And it just,
yeah.
You're right. Like, it gives you more opportunity to show off, you know, add a little bit of flair, a little bit of pizzazz, and make it your own, which I just don't get with LinkedIn at the moment.
I totally agree. And, like, in a similar vein of buying something to bring it back or bring it back to its full potential, I'm going for Tumblr. I was a Tumblr teen. I was in the fandoms. Super Hulock, the girls who get it, get it. and I just... it was bought out, like, years and years ago. And that just, like, ruined the entire platform. And, like, everyone jumped ship because everything just went to, like, commercial and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm going to pull an Uno reverse card, right? I'm going to put my money in, buy Tumblr, like, bring it back to its former glory.
Totally.
Like, get all the fandoms back, get all the artists back, get everyone back who was on there before. Make it, like, that fun space that, like, oh, I miss it. Daily, I miss it.
Yes, we could have a whole revival sort of era in the 2020s, and then all of the Gen Zers who never had a chance to use MySpace or Tumblr, they get a chance to jump on this cool retro app, and then all of us, you know, us older folk have a chance to relive the glory days. And that is a massive market. You know, Ellie's got her grandparents joining Snapchat. Who isn't going to be on social media by the time we're done with it?
Exactly.
Now, we've just got to work out how to get at least $44 billion.
If anyone would like to invest in reviving and revival culture, please send us a DM on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll be setting up crowdfunding page soon, yeah?
Yeah.
Watch this space. Although an alternative platform that I'd like to buy is Instagram. Just so then I can understand the algorithm.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that would be great. Just to talk some sense into Adam over at Instagram and say, no one wants reels. We've got an app for that. I would revive it back to what it once was.
Mm-hmm.
It would be chronological order. Reels.
Even back to, like, the old logo.
I'm not sure.
I miss the old logo.
let's just buy out Apple. And then bring back the old app frames, and then once, with that money that we've accumulated, buy out all the platforms and
I mean, clearly Elon Musk was thinking too small there. Like, we would have spent that money better.
Definitely.
Cool. So that's the platforms that we'd buy. Let us know what you would have chosen at Giraffe SN. So, now it's time for our tips and tricks segment, where we share what we've learned in the world of social media and how you can apply it to your social strategy. This week, we're going to be breaking down creating reactionary content. So whether it's pop culture references or reacting to news, creating reactionary content can be a great way to insert your brand into the conversation. So have you guys got any tips you'd like to share? I know when we were discussing this beforehand, Chloe, it sounded like you had some great ideas.
Oh, well, thank you. yeah, I guess my main tip is that you should really know your brand inside and out if you want to kind of participate in reactionary content. I think you kind of have to look inside yourself and understand, first of all, what your audience wants. I think there's nothing worse than, well, I can think of things worse, but I hate seeing brands post, you know, memes that are about or jump on trends that almost, you know, me who maybe isn't a customer can tell that that's not really them. So I think that's super important. But to also know your brand well enough that you have the confidence to participate, because, you know, news doesn't stick around for long. These trends don't stick around for long. I feel like the trend cycle is getting shorter and shorter and things, you know, come as quick as they go. So I think it's important that, you know, you have the confidence in yourself, and perhaps if you're a social media manager or a freelancer, that the brand that you work for has the confidence in you, that you almost don't have to get approval, because the approval process can absolutely kill your reactionary content, and, you know, it can turn it to really PC. So I think that's super important. And to give you, I guess, an actionable tip on how to do this, perhaps you can set up a content calendar. I know, you know, we social media managers bloody love a content calendar, but just marking down, you know, events and things that are coming up in the year that you know always produce that content. Like the Oscars is a great example in this year. You know, if you didn't know they were on, you would have missed out on, you know, one very big thing to come out of that. But, you know, the Grammys, movie premieres, like things like that, marking that in your calendar so that you have time to prepare beforehand, you know, as much as you can. We can't predict what memes are going to come out of things. But yeah, just making sure you're on top of it that way so that you can kind of check yourself and know whether that's going to be right for you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think as well, if you are scheduling or like pre-scheduling content and having like a content calendar, making space for like ad hoc like content as well, because like we can't predict the news cycle, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't be news. And, you know, just making sure that you've got that space where you can insert yourself into the conversation. But like you said, Chloe, making sure that like it does fit in with your brand. And if it doesn't necessarily fit in with your brand, find a way for it to fit in with your brand. I mean, like for an example, I don't know if you guys follow Koi Footwear on Instagram.
No,
but like quite often they'll link up with like big events and that, and be like, oh, look at these people wearing our shoes on the red carpet. And it's just like poorly photoshopped on shoes on these like celebrities' feet. So it like really draws you in. And I think, you know, if you can like create some humor behind it as well, like obviously that always helps, you know?
I love that. That is such a cool idea.
Honestly, Koi Footwear, like their social media marketing, if you haven't checked them out, check them out, because they're doing a great job.
I mean, one thing I was also going to say and like jump on is one campaign that I kind of see every single year that works really well is Love Island, and like brands jumping on the Love Island hype. And you can kind of link it. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated, but you can link it into kind of your sales and pushing sales. So for example, in the style, I remember like a scenario a few years ago where one of the girls was in a couple with a guy, and then he came back with another girl from Catherine Moore, and like straight after that aired and it was a whole fiasco, in the style tweeted being like, we stand with you. I think her name was like Shauna, however you say it, like to show your support.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We've given like 20% off code if you use We Love Shauna or We Stand With You Shauna or something like that.
Oh my god, I love
that. And obviously everyone's like, yeah, we love that, because you know they're all against this guy. So it's like a great example of like reactive content whilst also boosting their product sales. So I think it's like a really great way to do it.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that our suggestions so far have been to sort of like pre-plan reactionary content. So I think another really cool thing that a lot of brands have started to do, and I think this is largely thanks to TikTok and Twitter culture actually, is to kind of create your own You know, if it's been a slow week in the news cycle and things are getting a bit stale, I love how social media managers are beginning to put themselves kind of at the forefront of the social media feeds and of their branding and their marketing. And I've seen so many TikToks and tweets recently where you're like, how many social media managers can we get commenting on this? Or how many brands can we get jumping on this thread? And I think Aldi tweeted, it must have been today or yesterday, just ahead of the long weekend we're about to go into, where they said, our social media manager's out of office for the weekend. Who wants to take care of the Aldi
Twitter? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And they just had they tagged a few brands, but then of course, every social media manager from every Aldi Twitter really is the best, just jumped on and they were making memes, you know, dropping things about the whole Cuthbert, the caterpillar.
Oh, free Cuthbert.
Yeah. Talking about how Aldi's very good at replicating well-known brands and, you know, putting out similar products. And it was just really great. And like that in itself is kind of reactive content, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're sort of generating a bit of buzz and jumping onto things and almost giving an opportunity for other social media managers to jump on it too. So it's a win-win for everyone.
So there's our tips for creating reactionary content. Hopefully you'll still be able to create reactionary content on Twitter, even though Elon Musk has now bought it. Well, that's all we've got time for today. If you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you'd like to leave us a review on your favourite podcast app, we'd really appreciate it. We've been Giraffe Social Media, you've been amazing, and we'll see you next time.